All right, welcome to Schizophrenic Music. This is Craig, and I am, of course, joined by Kevin.
How you doing?
Good, man. All right, so today we thought we would expand even further. talk about sweet spots, and we talked about breaking outside of your comfort zone. And I certainly did that this past weekend. So long story short, my wife had tickets to a show that I had bought for her. So I bought her tickets to this Randy Houser show at Buckhead Theater for Christmas, and I had full intent on going with her. Then I listened to his music, felt like it didn't connect with it, knew she had a couple of friends that really liked that style of music. It's contemporary country. Definitely not bro country, as some people would call it at all. It's just right. It's straightforward, just kind of pop country. But anyway, so long story, the person that she had planned to go with just couldn't go, wasn't in town in time. And so she's like reaching out to friends. Nobody could go. Everybody had planned. So, and I had tickets to see a band called L1011 and was excited about that. But I'm like, man, I can't leave her high and dry. This is a Christmas gift. I want her to have a good time. So I decided to go. And I felt like I went in with an open mind, but I don't think I did. pretty much went in going, at least there's beer, right? At least I can sit there and drink and people watch. And we all need a dose of humility, Kevin. And that's what I got, because this guy flat out kicked ass. He was a great performer. I loved how sincerely humble he was. He said on multiple occasions, either thank you or, God, I can't believe I do this for a living, which I thought, and he meant that from the bottom of his heart. And then the second thing I took away from it that I really appreciated was he talked about that 2-year period that we've all gone through and being in a different situation and mentioning COVID. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, somebody in the audience said, whatever. And he reiterated, yep. And it could have immediately gone political. He had no interest in that whatsoever. He moved on very quickly, got onto a story, went into a song. He did not let politics dictate the show. He said, you know, I'm not going to alienate anybody. This is a good time. Let's include everybody. Let's have a blast. All right. So another thing I really appreciated, not to divert too much, I'll promise to pass the mic here, but he did two covers because he had an appreciation for Georgia. He played Chattahoochee from Alan Jackson. And then of all things, I love this. We just talked about this, Kevin. He played Here's a Quarter, Call Someone Who Cares.
Travis Tritt. Yes. The world works in mysterious ways. When was the last time I talked about that song? It was like probably 2 or 3 days before you went to this show.
Yep.
That's crazy.
I got some brownie points, though, you know, not being an overly country guy. But I appreciate older country. I just do. And I love both those songs. I really do, especially the Travis Tritt. And first couple of notes, it's like, is this a cover? Is this Alan Jackson? And immediately with Travis, like, oh my God, he's playing Travis Tritt. And Becca's like, all right.
Like, you know this?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I was like, I grew up with this, man. Absolutely. So I just got to say it was a welcome surprise. I can't say I would have had a better time at L1011, to be honest with you. It was a blast. So I'm sure you've had moments where you've gone to a concert and gone, I don't know what I'm getting into, but.
You know, you got me thinking, and I don't know, not recently though, man. I need to get to more shows right now. I need to kick it back up into gear since we got slowed down by the, you know. I'm always open if I'm especially, like, that was good, but. You know, I can't remember the last time I went to a show that I didn't know anything about the band or the artists, but I've been, you know, pleasantly surprised going, like, you go there just going, oh, you're going there like kind of, you know, it'll be all right. And you're like, walk away going, this band, these guys are great.
Right.
But I've been trying to leave that comfort zone a little bit. I know we were texting one another and like I said, open to a lot of things. So I don't hate much music. So I'm not saying just go and play something that I absolutely hate and see what happens.
Yep.
But there's forms of music that I don't go down the road too often, you know? So I'm like, so I just look around, like, what's new in the whatever what's new releases in dance, you know, because I don't listen to, or electronic. I'm like, because I'm not, that's not, you know, EDM or whatever. That's not me. So put on some stuff. I'm like, you know what? This is all right for the mood. You know, I forced myself, you know, and it's like, okay, but I can see, all right, I can see where this might, I don't know, pull it out all the time or my new favorite thing, but
yeah,
good stuff.
For sure. Like, have you been watching Ted Lasso?
I have not, but my wife and I were talking about this because I started watching it, and then for some reason I only like watched a couple episodes and have not, but I need to get on it and catch up, I guess.
Well, so you've heard the opening theme song, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, and when I heard it, I thought, man, this sounds familiar. I think I know who this is. But then it kind of sounds like Graham Parker too. I know it's not Graham Parker. It's his style of tune, but it's Marcus Mumford.
Okay.
And so not that this is totally outside of my comfort zone, but there's certain bands I just don't connect with and never hated or really even disliked Mumford and Sons. I just, I like it a little bit more progressive, a little bit more traditional, not less poppy. But I freaking love that theme song, and I like his voice. So I thought, yeah, I'll listen to Mumford & Sons album. I thought it was really good. I mean, it's not something I'll go to often, but I was like, this is nice. Like, this is a good listen.
Definitely. I mean, it's all just, I don't know. It's like now, hell, I'll go to any show now and just see what... see what happens, see what it sounds like.
Yep.
But... there's not so much like bands that I knew nothing about, but there's bands that I've gone to that were, you know, maybe like you go and you're like a casual, like, oh, this will be all right.
Right.
And then you leave going, they are so much better than I thought they were going to be.
Or right.
Down, you know, along those lines. So,
well, what about this too? So this past week, hell, I had two shows. I went to see GA20. And JD Simo in Athens at a place called Hendershots. I posted that up and I went as a fan of GA20, a big fan, walked away a huge fan and equally a huge fan of JD. I knew nothing about JD. I didn't realize that there was, and it wasn't, they basically are co-headlining. So there is no real leader of the pack basically. But JD went on second. And I have to say, he was amazing. Incredible guitarist, incredible vocalist, great performer. So I walked away just from the surprise element, almost more kind of impressed with him, even though GA20 blew the doors off the place. Mm-hmm. But then you flip the perspective. They played in Atlanta the same night, Saturday, that L1011 and Randy Houser were playing. And so my friend Robert was going to that show, but he was not going for GA20. He was going for JD. He said, I just don't really, you know, the GA20 doesn't hit me really well on album, but I bet JD's going to kill it. And I go, well, I thought they were great live. I think you'll be impressed. I talked to him and he goes, GA20 was incredible. I said, what'd you think of JD? And he goes, it was good, but GA20 definitely won the night. And I go, I love it when that happens.
Right.
We had the same experience, but for different bands. We walked away impressed with the other band as much as impressed with the band we actually went to see. And I know that's happened to you.
Oh, yeah. And there's bands like that's the best. And that's like it, you know, it used to happen a lot back in the 80s where you'd go see a band metal bands or whatever that were the bands that were opening up because the opener was really, really important.
Yep.
But lately, and a lot of times I'm knowing or, you know, it's like somebody unknown, but I'm just thinking, and already I'm going back a few years, but like there's bands that I became huge fans of.
Yep.
I don't want to say following them or whatever, but it's like, oh, I can't wait till these guys come to town. One of them was when I went to see the Black Crowes. So that was when, and this was good 10 years ago at least. And there was a band called Rose Hill Drive opened up.
Yeah.
And didn't know anything about Rose Hill Drive, who they were, where they came from. And we got in a little bit late and these guys are playing. I'm like, these guys are absolutely incredible. Now, the Crows, the show kicked ass. But after that, I'm like, okay, I need to know. So then, you know, they would come through town and they would play a small, I probably saw them 5-6 times after that show, because they'd come through, play like a place like Smith's Old Bar or something like that,
right,
where you go and see them. And they've still sort of around. I don't know if they're doing, if they're as good as they were a couple years ago, but I mean, they became huge. They're like one of my new favorite bands, you know, that, and it was because I went to see them. Another one was the Biters, where, yep, I saw Biters open up, didn't know anything about them, even though they're an Atlanta band, knew nothing about them. I went to see Cheap Trick, yep, and Biters opened up, and I'm like, these guys, or went out like between, you know, they went to the merch table, went between the between acts and bought the CD, you know, back when you actually, you know, CDs and everything, bought the album. So these guys are great. And then from there, bought the next, they've released two albums since then and love those guys.
Yep.
Too bad. We used to use one of their songs as our, you know, opening track and everything, but they've broken up. Yep. But still, Tuck Smith, right?
Yep.
The lead singer is playing and got a band, and we saw him open up for Jesse Malin, right? So it's all, yeah, everything's coming full circle, but, and yep, it's good. Definitely good stuff. But those guys, it's one, like, you turned me on to them, and then I was like, ooh, can't wait to hear what they do next. So that was what, those situations, yep, like that.
I feel like that happens more often than I probably talk about. Sometimes it can be an equally great performance. I don't think GA20 or JD were, one was better, that they were just very different sounds.
But right,
going in unfamiliar, it's happened to me several times where I'll go in and I'll see somebody like this band called Sea Ray opened up for another band called Long Wave. I think Long Wave might still be around, but Sea Ray put out one album. That was it. But I loved that album, and live just was, everybody walked away going, who is this? These guys are great. They had everybody kind of on the edge of their seat. I love those kind of experiences. And I feel like that doesn't get talked about as much, because it's easy to go, when are the doors open? Okay, when does the show start? Well, I'm not concerned as long as I get there by X, because I just have to see my band. But sometimes it's nice to walk in a little bit early. I'm glad I got here an hour early. Yep. Man, these guys are great. You know, that's how you discover stuff, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So dancing around a little bit, I talked about politics and music. I'm so thankful he did not indulge and go down that road. I know there's artists that's their thing, right?
Yep.
There's one in the media right now.
Yep.
Right, finding a big conglomerate. I'll be honest, I don't know all the details of it, but Neil is very outspoken. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go see somebody like Neil Young, you know what you're getting, right?
Yes.
But if you go see an artist that you've been listening to for a while and there's no real connection there, and then you get there and you're like, shit, half this is politics.
Right.
That's got to drive you nuts.
I'm a total hypocrite when it comes to this, because like you said, there's certain artists that I expect that, and it's totally cool and totally fine. But then other artists where I would be like, if I went to see Randy Houser and he all of a sudden started talking politics when someone yelled out or whatever, I'd be like, you know, mm-hmm. And it's not just things I agree with and don't agree with. I probably would like it more if someone's talking about something that I totally agree with.
Right.
But when there's certain bands that you just know that's the way.
Right.
The way they are, you know, yep, you go, you're seeing certain people, they're going to talk politics. I'm drawing some blanks right here, but, or there's bands that acts that talk and are very, I want to say, spiritual, or
talk
about togetherness and things like that. One of my favorite artists is Michael Franti,
yep,
Spearhead. And he's definitely, the older stuff was probably more political, more like, you know, I don't want to say anarchist or whatever, but he, you know, had some
rebel rock, right?
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. But yep, now you go see him and you know, if you don't want to hear, he's got a positive message and he's going to spread the positive message and bring everybody together and get, like, if that's not what you want to you want to see, then you maybe you would be, oh man, just play the songs and move on. But
yeah,
you know, I like it, and it's like everyone's like, I don't know, it's just a big bringing everybody together type of thing. So that's cool. Then you get, there's certain artists. There's another artist that's really, really political, and he's been brought up maybe once or twice, I think, on the discussion group, but like him, or used to like him a lot. Not that he's doing lots and lots of new stuff, yep. But if I went to see him in concert, if he came around, he's a really good artist, I would go see. But then when it went, I probably wouldn't go see him because I know that it's going to go political.
Right. Yep. Yep.
You know? And then I'm like, ah, you know, it's just like, just play the old tracks that I want. Don't go political. But then there's certain artists that are going political now that, and it's just like, just stop. And I don't want to lose half the people, but there's an artist that has said things in the media and you're just like, oh, just shut up and play. Van Morrison right now is acting like as far as I'm concerned, is said just being like an ass in some of the things he's doing and saying. And I'm like, dude, just, and I was a Van Morrison fan, but I don't love him that much that I'm going to look past that. He's someone I want to go see and I want to just hear him play. Right.
Yep.
And I don't know, you know, he's just done some things lately. It's like, really, just don't do that. But then you got someone like, you know, is going to, like, if I went to go see Roger Waters, he's political as hell. And you know, you're going to get,
yeah,
the song, at least the lyrics of the songs, they're going to have political stuff in there. Then, so that's where I'm a hypocrite, right? Because I like it sometime, and not just when I agree with it, but certain artists are just like, okay, that's what they do. When you go see Steve Earle, he's going to bring up a few things and whatever, and that's all right.
Right.
But when you go see somebody that's just like a straight ahead, I don't know, pop artist or straight ahead rock and roll artist, and they make it political, you're like, oh no, now you're taking it down a different
road. I think that's a part of who they are, though. I mean, if it's part of their music and it's a part of their personality, then I'm usually open to it. And if it's something I don't agree with, then a lot of times it might not be something I can see past. Like, I don't have a clue what, I honestly do not have a clue of what Randy's political leanings are. I really don't. I can tell you what I walked away from thinking. I liked what I saw. I think he's a great musician, a great singer. On album, it's not music that I typically favor, so I wouldn't say I'm a fan, a huge fan of his music, honestly, but I'm a huge fan of him because he just seems like a cool dude. Like a dude, he's the kind of guy I would hang out with and just have a blast because he's real. He's a sincere human being, and I love that. But there's other people on the flip side of that, not to waffle too much, that I can't see past. And I don't necessarily dislike their music. Ted Nugent is a prime example for me of somebody I don't dislike his music. I kind of like some of it, but I've seen enough from him. I've heard enough from him to know I don't like him. I don't like who he is at least become. And I think there are some other artists, not to point anybody out. I think maybe Nugent's an easy target. He makes himself an easy target, but there's some other really big artists. You mentioned Van. There's another one that has said some stuff lately that is just like, man, don't taint your legacy because this is not who you've been your entire life. That's never been who you're about. And you're now speaking in terms that really could alienate a large portion of your audience. If you want an example of that, and I admire them for what they did, but when the Dixie Chicks came out and did what they did to an audience that is obviously not that target demographic, it kind of annihilated their career. It ended. And I hate that. You hate that. You want somebody to be able to speak their mind. And if you're that passionate about it and you're willing to pay the repercussions, then so be it. So you have to be, to me, you have to be very careful and know what kind of what you're getting into. But for me, I'm a hypocrite too.
Right.
But if I come in knowing, that, like, if you go see, I don't know anything about Pearl Jam from a performance. Sadly, I've never seen them before, but I do remember there was a Hall of Fame introduction for somebody, and they were playing with Springsteen, and finally Bruce just came over to Eddie and said, "Hey man, let's just play music." I thought it was the most beautiful thing. He's like, "Hey man, let's just play."
Right.
So maybe that's something he does on a regular basis. So maybe going to a concert like that, all right, maybe Eddie's going to go off a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But if somebody like, if Weird Al Yankovic comes out and all of a sudden right. just starts reaming people, it's like, whoa, what are you doing?
Right.
You might lose your audience. So just
exactly.
Yeah, just play the music. Yeah. Play, I mean, play your music and shut up.
Something. You're going to see Nugent. You know what you're going to get seeing Nugent, yes, right? You go absolutely. See Roger Waters. You know what you're going to get Roger Waters or anybody like that.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It's kind of sometimes I can't. It's amazing when people can separate it and then not. Like one way or the other, I think someone, I either like them more sometimes because they feel a certain way or not as much. I have a friend that's a big fan of this artist that I like a lot. I won't go down. We're doing a lot of that, like not naming names just because I don't want to. and he's gone a little political. I don't want to say he gets up there and he doesn't get up on stage. He tells stories and stuff, which I think is great. And he doesn't get political, like between songs. He's more of a storyteller. But some of the songs and lyrics to his songs definitely lean a little political.
Right.
And this friend of mine politically is 100%. The opposite of how he feels.
Right.
But she loves this artist. And I'm like, and just like one of her favorite artists of all time. I'm like, that's interesting. Can you loves them? And I'm right. like, can you separate? Because I can't. I would still like the music, but I wouldn't know if I can. I'm not that forgiving or something. I don't know. Can you love somebody you know totally disagrees with most everything that you feel politically? You know,
not being overly political in general and kind of being
right
pretty neutral, I can say maybe it depends on who they are. Like there's somebody in politics and I can't think of who it is, but it's a couple and one is far right and the other one's far left. I can't think of who
James Carville yes. and the other. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I admire that because yes. wow, you want to talk about compromise. That is freaking compromise. I love yep. it. But I will say when you know somebody just deep down, like you mentioned Van, and I don't want to, you know, bash on Van, but I've just heard he's not a nice guy.
That's what I've heard too.
I've just heard he's not, and I don't know if that's true or not. So we're not saying that we know that for a fact. It's just, that's what I've heard. Somebody, a friend of mine saw him and is like, man, he came out and played for an hour and that was it. And 60% of what he played was new stuff. He did not humor the audience at all. He had no interest in his fans. And it's like, man, what a bummer. And then you hear right. The opposite side of that. You hear where meeting Matthew Stubbs from GA20. Dude was as nice and as cool and dude wanted to hang out with us. You got to right. respect that, you know?
I don't want to, you got me thinking about Van now, but like there's somebody you see and you're like, man, if you see somebody, and this is taking a different, I guess, turn a little bit, but yep. somebody who's there for the fans and appreciates the fans yes. and it's about the fans and not about them, you're loving it. And I'm not saying that, and I'm not naive thinking like, oh, when they said, we love you, Atlanta, that they don't say that to anybody else. You know, no, I get it, you know, but
right.
or like they say this is the best show they've had. Okay, whatever. But there are certain acts, like I know we've been, I think on different nights, maybe the same night, but going, and at least you went not thinking as much about Zac Brown Band and walked away going, man, he wow. just kept on playing, brought it, played covers, just owned it, and just was all about the show and the crowd and loved the fact that he was there and everybody was there to see him.
Yep.
Just like you're saying Randy Houser felt.
Yep.
Where like you got a person like Van Morrison, and I have a friend that's seen Van Morrison probably the last two or three times that he's come through town. He's a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
But he does certain things that make me go, well, dude, I know you're, you know, you already made your money or whatever, but give it to the, I think you should still give it to the fans. For one, I guess Van had, might have had some issues in the past. Maybe he was, maybe has some substance issues. Don't know. Right. But you go see a Van Morrison show, they shut down the bar the minute he starts playing. So you can go get a beer before the show starts.
Wow.
But the minute he starts playing, it's because of him. They don't serve alcohol throughout the whole night because he doesn't want that. I'm like, damn, that's kind of
right.
That's, I mean, okay, you be you, you do you,
yeah.
But
just because you have an issue with it doesn't mean everybody exactly. else does. Yeah.
And then he plays, I believe it's an, like you were saying, an hour or an hour and a half. I think I want to say it's an hour. He plays for an hour and then the hour hits. He walks off stage and the band plays an out, you know, like the band keeps playing for the rest of the song and that's it. Yeah. He didn't come back.
Yeah.
Doesn't do an encore. He's done. I'm right. like, oh damn. I'm like, I probably wouldn't go see,
I wouldn't
go see that show knowing those two things, knowing that that's when it's, that's how it's going to be.
Right.
You know,
right.
it's just like, one, I don't need to have multiple beers at the show, but the fact I should be able to, you right. know, so one thing, if it's like they cut it off in the middle, because, you know, like they do at venues where you want people to drive home. So they, you know, cut beer off at the beginning of the third quarter. You can't get another beer, right. Or whatever it is, you know, for a
yeah.
sporting event or whatever, or the minute, I don't know. It hits a certain time, beer sales are shut off, whatever. But
sure.
the fact that you have an issue or you don't like it, so you shut it down for everybody else.
Yep.
That just seems, you're not really appreciating the people.
No.
The whole like play for an hour and like get, do your thing and walk off. That doesn't feel appreciative either. Where I've seen our acts that just want to keep on playing and they want to, it's not all, I'm like I say, I'm not naive. You can tell when a artist is really feeling it and yeah. really appreciative and they're feeding off the crowd and they don't want to stop. We talked about that Jesse Malin show. Jesse was, there was, there wasn't a packed house by any means, but he was thankful to be there and loved the crowd and the yep. reaction he was getting. And it gave him, you know, fed him more to play more, longer, whatever, come back for another encore, do whatever you need to do, you know? Yep. So that's how, I don't know, I'm babbling about that, but that's how, that's where you go. And that's where you get on that, you know, that's the political thing you were talking about or whatever, to whatever, how you, you what you're doing or what you want to do or appreciate the crowd or I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that all those things have factors in whether I'm going to go see somebody. I have no interest in seeing Van. I'm sorry. I don't, not to beat him up too much.
Right.
Not that he cares about what we say anyway, but I don't care about seeing anybody along those lines. I'm more interested in seeing a Jesse Malin who after the show is at the merch table.
Right.
And then actually says, oh, give these guys this, gave us a free t-shirt, gave us a free keychain. I mean, yep. how cool is that? A lot of the smaller shows that I've been to, those coal mine shows, seeing Kelly Finnegan and Monophonics and meeting the band, and they were just mm-hmm. super meeting Ghost Funk Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
We met pretty much the entire band on the way out. They were taking their name off of the billboard and they're walking out. We're like, y'all want a beer? And we're like, oh, we got to go to Charlotte, whatever.
Right.
So, but they all sat out there and kind of, you know, let's take a picture of the billboard before they take the sign down. So they're taking it down. And as they're taking it down, they're signing our album. And I'm like,
right.
That's just so cool. Like they could easily walk away. One of them said, wait, we got to go get so-and-so.
Right.
He was inside. Dude, that's just all. I get it. They're, you know, they haven't been out there as longer and they're a little bit hungrier. I get that.
Sure. But I get
there's
that.
There's something to an artist that like truly appreciates their fan. I've seen artists that have been doing it 40, 50 years before that after the show would shake everybody's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it has to be that way, but then we have an artist that's a right. legacy artist like that, that has multiple hits. That's iconic. And then you find out, oh man, he didn't really like his fans. that sucks.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess that wraps,
up today.
Yeah. I guess we've rambled long enough. One thing I wanted to bring up, we are going to start putting a little bit more emphasis on Patreon. So we have a Patreon page where you can help support us. We've been doing this how long, Kevin? Almost 4 years.
Almost.
I think we've mentioned Patreon maybe once.
I don't think we've ever mentioned it. Maybe once.
But I started thinking about it and I'm like, you know what? You know, let's drum up some support. We've got a good fan base. We've got a great group on Facebook that we interact with on a daily basis. And so let's throw it out there. There are three different tiers that we're going to have on Patreon. The first tier is $2 a month, and we'll give you a shout out. That's just to help us kind of keep the lights on. There's a $5 and a $10 tier. The $5 tier gives you bonus content, and that bonus content is going to initially come from the first couple of seasons, because we're going to archive season one and season two to only subscribers. And then the $10 level, what we'll do is we'll throw you into a drawing every month for a free merch, either a CD, a record. You won't know what's coming, but you'll get something.
Surprise.
So it's a drawing. So every month you're entered into that.
Let's see what happens. Yeah. We appreciate it. We would appreciate it for sure.
Yep.
And like I said, Craig said, because we have a good group and a lot of guys talking, like we have people on the Facebook group discussion, post anything you want to talk about music-wise, start something, reply to other people, keep it going. And of course, we also have the other social outlets, Instagram, Twitter, visit that, follow, like, review, all that kind of good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, cool. Thanks for joining in as always. And until next time, have a good one.
All right, take it easy.